Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and Chad here, your host for this weekend's edition. Also, your host throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report. Please be sure to go through all our daily editorials from the week and company updates, and let us know what you think of these markets, the guests, and the companies that we have featured throughout the last week. On this weekend show, we're going to start off with more market comments focused on precious metals and also U.S. markets. And then in the back half of the show, switch our focus to the energy sector, especially the oil market, where oil, albeit in a little bit of a pullback now, just had a very nice run for the last few weeks. So let's get right into it. We are kicking off this show with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. And Doc, let's start off with the precious metals sector because, well, unfortunately, another tough week for precious metals, especially the stocks. Before we get into the stocks, just a couple quick comments on the headline metals here. So gold continued to move down this week. We are recording this about halfway through the day on Thursday. Gold on the futures is hanging in about $19.20. Silver, a little under $23. But the fact of the matter is, this has been just kind of a grinding move down. We can look positively and say, well, gold's still above 1900. It has set up a higher trading range than we have ever seen in history. But sentiment sure isn't there for the precious metals. So, Doc, what's your outlook for gold, first and foremost, please?
Well, for gold, I mentioned a couple, 3 months ago, we might form a right shoulder on an inverse head and shoulders on the monthly charts. And I think the more I look at this, the more possibility that it looks like this might occur. Right now on the futures market for gold, the 12-month moving average is still above the 26-month, so that's encouraging. But what's a little bit discouraging is the fact that it's starting to move laterally. And on the GLD, on the monthly chart, that 12-month moving average of the MACD is actually impinging on the 26-month like it wants to move below it. So this month, we're going to close below last month's high, of course. I think that's pretty much given. And September is going to be very crucial because if we move lower in September, we are probably in the process of forming a very broad right shoulder to an inverse head and shoulders. And also, if that happens, you're going to see gold on the futures market, the 12-month, move below the 26-month moving average, which will tell you that we have further work to be done in these precious metal charts in the precious metals.
Well, Doc, just a couple of thoughts that come to my mind when you mentioned the inverse head and shoulders on the monthly and that move down could form the right shoulder. Obviously, an inverse head and shoulders is bullish longer term because it'll come out of that pattern and blast up to new highs. But how low do you think gold could go in that kind of a pullback? And then it also makes me think about all the discussion people have had about that cup and handle pattern, the long-term chart. Does this kind of a move down negate that finally and just say, hey, the cup and handle is off the table?
Not necessarily, because if we move down, which I think we will yet, because on the spot market, we're now down below 1900. And I wouldn't be surprised if over the next few weeks and months, we even break 1800. It probably won't happen right away, but that would be part of forming that right shoulder. So I wouldn't be surprised if we even break 1800 before this is over. Now, having said that, that would infer that the head part of the head and shoulders, that we've seen the lows in this gold market, which I believe we have now. A lot of people talked about how the low was in place in 2021, and then they were disappointed when we actually moved lower and plumbed those lows in 2022. Well, I do think those are the lows now, in that we're not going to go down and take those out at all. But we could move that right shoulder down into the 1700 to 1800 range. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
So, Doc, from a timing perspective here, I'm looking at that, let's say, left shoulder there, the low, that 1675 happened in August. Then it took 8 months to move up to that high that happened in March. And then another 8 to 9 months for that low. And then another 8 months. So that means that we're looking to December, maybe January, for when gold bottoms again?
I think that's a real possibility. I think this the rest of this year is going to be very troublesome for the precious metals. And if you look at other indices like the GDX, the GDXJ, and the Gold Bugs Index, Gold Miners Bullish Percent Index, and the Gold and Silver Index, those charts are all looking horrible right now, the long-term charts, and it looks like those charts want to go lower as well. So I think for the rest of this year that it could be a very difficult end of the year for the precious metals. But then I think we're in a position where we can really build a base on that right shoulder and going forward, and it'll look a lot more promising from that point on.
Well, Doc, you brought up some of those ETFs like GDX, GDXJ for the mining stocks. Right now, the mining stocks have been incredibly weak, where the metals prices have been fairly resilient over the last year or the last 3 years. The metals prices have actually hung in there. Yeah, there's been some swings down to the lower prices, but there was also swings a lot higher in both the metals. So overall, they've been in a trading range, but the mining stocks haven't been in a trading range. They've just been diving lower and lower. If gold does pull back to the 1700s or 1800s, what does that mean for GDX or GDXJ?
Well, I think those are the last, especially for GDX. We've talked about how the large cap, a lot of them were fairly impervious to this demolition derby we're watching. But now we're starting to, and I warned people about Newmont. And I said, watch out for the 40 level, because if we close below that on a monthly basis, this month and even next month, Newmont may even plumb lower lows from here, and it looks like it will. And that tells me then that if Newmont is doing that, and if other of these high cap stocks are starting to get hit, that's the last thing that normally gets hit in a bear market. So I think we're finally seeing that happen. And that tells you that they're going to have to be washed out before we bottom out in this bear market. But watch Newmont. The chart on the monthly chart does not look good. Hecla does not look good here either. And Agnico does not look good. And so you're starting to see some of these better stocks getting hit here. And I think that's an harbinger of the fact that once that happens, that then we're finally going to see a bottoming out process in this whole thing. And I think that's going to come.
So, Doc, you are right. If the majors aren't doing well and if they look weak, then, well, it doesn't really sound like there's much hope trickling down into the mid-tiers or the juniors. I do want to ask about GDX, GDXJ, even SIL, because it depends the time frame of the chart you're looking at. If it's a weekly or daily chart, we've heard the argument that we've seen a nice succession of higher highs and higher lows, at least over the last almost year now. But this week, well, it's started to break down. But even more so, you look at the monthly chart going the whole way back 10 plus years. And what stands out to me is lower highs consecutively, almost in this longer term downtrend. How do you balance out these almost conflicting time frame charts?
Yeah, and that's why I like to go with monthly charts, because they give you a much more holistic picture of what's going on. The daily chart to me is just noise, and the weekly chart is not as noisy. But the monthly chart, that's why you have to look at monthly charts to look at trends. And when you look at GDX, it just broke down again through support. And what bothers me about the monthly chart on GDX is the lower Bollinger band is starting to turn south. And sometimes when you see that, But what that often means is that pricing will follow that down. And that's not a good sign. But we certainly will know if that's true in the next 2 to 3 months.
Well, Doc, we've mostly been talking about the precious metals here and the precious metal stocks. But when you widen the scope up to some of the other commodity resource stocks, something like the copper stocks or the oil and gas stocks, are you seeing this move down across the board in the commodity sector, or is it just limited to the precious metals because they're more monetary metals?
Copper is starting to move down again, which is bothersome. And I think copper is going to really challenge support down at about $3.40. And if it doesn't hold there, then that's going to tell you what the rest of the sector is going to do, basically. And so copper right now also is weakening. I think copper is going to break down possibly below $3.50, and it's going to actually maybe even challenge $3.25. And if copper can't hold, I don't see how most of these other commodities, because what copper's telling you is that we got a global problem right now as far as all of these countries are concerned, as far as potential to expand. We know China is struggling, and they're talking about pumping money into their system to at least support it. But that tells me that we're probably going to have some construction issues going forward, maybe on housing. And I think copper is just sending out a message that you better watch out.
So then, Doc, from an investing strategy, or from your portfolio strategy, does that mean you're simply sitting on the sidelines here, sitting on cash, waiting for these lower levels that it sounds like are coming for almost all the metal stocks?
I have started to buy very discreetly, and I'm starting to purchase certain stocks based on their technicals. I just started to buy Coeur d'Alene at these levels because they're impinging on their Bollinger Band on the monthly chart, and the Bollinger bands are really narrowing. Now, that does not mean that they won't move lower, which I would think they would, but I'm not going to get too cute here. I'm going to start to buy slowly, and I'm going to start to buy certain of these stocks, depending on the technicals I'm watching, because you can get too cute sometime. I know others have bought even a year ago, and certain people that are very knowledgeable about these stocks, and said they'll hold until the next turn, which there will be. But I am starting to slowly purchase, not in big volumes, but I have plenty of time to do that based on I'm going to walk my talk on this. And because I believe that we're still going to have one more really disconcerting move down potentially for these metals. And then I think we're going to be in the process of bottoming, and I am purchasing a little at this time.
Well, Doc, it's good to hear that you're nibbling in the markets, but that you are prepared for lower prices. It sounds like there's still going to be more pain in store in the medium term for the precious metal sector. Another sector I know that you follow, though, and that you do dabble in some of the resource stocks, is the oil and nat gas side of things. That is an area that's been actually a bright spot in the commodity space, has been the move up in oil recently. Are you doing anything with the energy stocks?
Yeah, I am. In fact, I'm purchasing natural gas. I've started not a lot because I think it's going to move back down again, and then I'll add to my position. But yes, I am more interested in those stocks because those are manipulative in a sense, because OPEC, they can cut production and they can sometimes help out the price of oil. And I think that's a potential as far as they are concerned. And those, like crude oil, doesn't look too bad here. I think we're going to move down a little bit again, but I think it's going to hold its own for a while. And especially with OPEC Plus doing what they are, I think they're going to put a hurt on Mr. Biden, so he has to dip more into the strategic reserves going forward. We know what the gas prices are right now, which aren't good. And I think they could very well do it for a geopolitical reason to hurt him. Those don't look too bad, and I'm more interested in those areas, but I am starting to buy ETFs in natural gas.
What are the levels that you're watching for then? In either oil or natural gas on the downside that need to hold that keep you in kind of that bullish camp?
I do not want to see oil in the WTIC. I do not want to see that on a monthly chart break 60. That's what I don't want to see. But I don't see that happening anytime soon here.
No, we're kind of in the mid-80s right now, so that'd be a pretty far drop from where things are at. When you're looking at the oil and nat gas stocks, not so much the ETFs that you're playing, but when you're looking at the individual stocks, are you more animated by some of the larger producers that pay really nice dividends? Do you like some of the smaller guys that have a growth profile in their production? Or do you like some of the exploration and development stocks in the energy space?
Well, one of the stocks I've liked and I bought a long time ago at a very low price is Birchcliff. And I bought that when it was about $2 and it moved up to $9 and now it's moving back down towards $6. I think that those are the kind of stocks I like. It's a solid company. They're doing well. Those I will purchase. But otherwise, I do the ETFs. And I'm just waiting on natural gas, especially with the problems in Europe that they have once they blew up the pipeline. There's going to be pressure, I think, on natural gas prices going forward. So that's one area that I don't mind being in right now.
All right, Doc, let's quickly talk about the U.S. equity markets, because look, they're finally showing some weakness. You look at the S&P, which was up, I think, 5 months in a row and 6 out of the last 7 months. It's been on quite a run. It hasn't reached those all-time highs from back at the very tail end of 2021, but overall it's been a nice run. But this month we're getting some weakness. S&P is down almost 4% just this month. What's your thought on these US markets and the potential here of them simply just being in this larger trading range?
Well, if they're going to be in this trading range, it's going to be for months and years, I think, because I think next year we start to see this cyclical bear market, because that's really all it's been, turn into a secular. I mentioned months ago that I feel that this market eventually will become a secular bear market. And I mentioned that it'd be the longest secular bear market that we've seen since World War II, and I'll stick with that because I think this ultimately breaks down, and the odds are that it breaks down probably into next year, and I think it takes out its 50-month moving averages finally, and it is rich. The conventional markets are overvalued. They've been overvalued for some time, and we're going to have to eventually move back toward the mean as far as PE ratios are concerned for these markets. And I think it's been slowly breaking down actually for years while it's been rising. But when you look at something like the Case-Shiller index and you look at that chart, there was a peak and then it dropped and then it rebounded. And I think we've seen the rebound in the second peak. And I think we're going to work our way lower. I think it's only a matter of time.
Well, Doc, I'd love you to unpack a little bit further why you think the secular bear could go on for as long as it can. And it makes sense after one of the largest bull markets in history for there to be one of the larger bear markets in history. That's generally how things go in the markets. But you could argue that the PE ratios were elevated in 2018, 2019. And after the pandemic, things reset a little bit. But even when there was the reset in 2020, they were still, even after that big crash, way overvalued compared to where things are historically. So do PE ratios even matter anymore? Because by 2021 or what we're seeing this year in 2023, these things, some of these valuations are off the map. And it doesn't seem like the market participants care. Institutions and fund managers and investors are happy to go in and keep speculating these things higher. Do the PE ratios ever return to normal? Do valuations even matter anymore?
They do, because that old saying, this time is different, is always proven wrong eventually. And this time is not going to be different. And I think with loss of demand and the world economies being where they're at, that the and with the debt levels we're seeing, I think it's only a matter of time. And especially with the bond market breaking down again and heading for new lows, the bond market, It eventually, this time is not going to be different. You had all that money put into the system fiscally in the last 2 years. That's being spent down by people. In fact, recently there was a good graph that shows that people's savings are dwindling, and that by the third quarter, a lot of this country is going to be in trouble. And we had talked about that off mic. And the fact that students are going to have to start paying their debt again, there's a number of factors that are going to show that the liquidity is really drying up for people, and that they're going to be struggling, especially with wages not keeping up with inflation. That's also a hurt right now. So that's all going to dry up. And in fact, the government is seeing a decrease in tax receipts they didn't expect. And that tells you something. And you can bet that not a lot of people are making a lot of money in this conventional market to be able to pay more taxes to the government. So you've got all of these things happening. And I think eventually we're going to pay the piper. And if you look technically at the MACD on the monthly chart for these conventional markets, we have not seen neutral for 13 years. Well, that's going to happen. And once we see neutral, you know you're going to go negative on that particular indicator. So it's going to come. This time is not different. We're going to pay the price.
So, Doc, two-part question then. Can the Fed save the markets if they do drop to whatever level they decide to step in at? And if we do get this, it sounds like significant decline in the markets, doesn't everything just get pulled down with it?
I think that's going to influence the precious metals for a while. But I think overall, the gold market compared to the stocks, the precious metal stocks, the gold market has held up really quite well. And I think that tells you there's really underlying strength. And I think that also tells you that the Fed has a real problem going forward as far as taming inflation. So ultimately, I think the gold market will break out again. It's going to be a while, but that's what it's telling you right now, because the gold market, that in the bear markets it's in right now, has not really sold off like it did in 2011, 2012, where it was down some 46%. And this time it's probably, I'd have to check my figures, but down in the 28% or something like that. And when you see that kind of picture after so long on the monthly chart where it hasn't really gotten hit hard, that's sending out a warning sign to what's coming. And I have a feeling they're going to have a real hard time solving this inflation problem.
Well, Doc, what about the U.S. dollar? Because that factors into all of these markets, whether it's the commodities, whether it's the general equities, whether it's the faith in the U.S. economic system. Obviously, it's counterbalanced against a lot of other global currencies, and that's the main driver for it. But how do you see the dollar factoring into all this? It looked like it was in a longer term decline, but then it's had this little rally recently where it's poked its head back up and pressured markets. How are you looking at the greenback?
The greenback, I think the trend is going to be slowly down for a while here. It's had a nice little rebound, but I don't see it taking off or challenging its last high back in 2022 anytime soon. And I think the path of least resistance is down. It's not going to drop out of bed at first. I think it's going to just be a gradual move down, and it's going to have little rallies. And right now, I think that when you look at the long-term charts, the dollar has seen its better days for a while. And with what they're doing in BRICS and these other countries, that's going to be a slow impingement on the dollar with time, because I think that will influence it as well. But technically right now, I don't see a huge breakdown, but I think we're going to see a gradual breakdown over time.
All right, Doc, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you very much for your insights on a wide range of markets. And again, looking at some of these longer term charts, and I wish the outlook could be a bit rosier for a wide range of sectors, but it sounds like we could be under some pressure here, no matter what you're invested in. for a little while, and actually a little while being into next year. Well, we'll follow up with you next month, though, Doc. But as always, thanks for taking time with us on this weekend show. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.